Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy morning to listen to our program. We hope you have an open mind and an open Bible, and you will follow along to the things that we say. We encourage you to ask questions if you want anything clarified. Even if you do not agree, we'd be more than happy to talk with you and sit down with an open Bible and open mind. Just contact us, and we'll be more than happy to do so. This morning, I want to talk to you about choosing this day whom we will serve. In the days of Joshua, before his death, he gave the children of Israel a choice to choose whom they would serve, the God that had given them the land that they now occupied, or the gods in the lands that they dwelled. But he told them, for him and his house, they would serve the Lord. And this is in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Man has been endowed with the power of choice and its privileges and its responsibilities from the beginning of time. We call this free moral agency. It began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, and verse 16 and 17, they are told that they could eat of every tree in the garden, except the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were told in the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. They had to make a choice. Sadly, in Genesis chapter 3, Eve and Adam chose to disobey God. Thus sin came into the world, and, well, you know the rest of the story. The question has often been asked, why did God make man so that he could choose to do evil? Because God wanted his creature, man, to serve him out of love, not because he was programmed to do so. God understood that with the ability to choose came the ability to choose to do evil and to disobey him. Yet he left it in man's hand. From the beginning of time until the end of time, man is a free moral agent. This has been taught many ways in the New Testament and the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 11, often referred to as the great imitation of the Lord, in verse 28 it says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Revelation 22, and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who desires say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. This is the power of choice. It is often great, although not fully realized. Evil influence and evil environments can be overcome when we make better choices than maybe those who are around us. Ahaz was a very wicked king, but his son Hezekiah was a very good king, 2 Kings chapter 18. The evil influence of the environment can be overcome by making better choices in one's life. The saints in the household of wicked Nero, who was persecuting and killing Christians, obeyed the gospel according to Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. What does that mean? That means man has the power to overcome his upbringing, his bad environment, his bad training, because he still has the power within his own ability to choose the proper course in life. Let us look a little further at this subject. Moral choice is inescapable. The choice of who will be our master is inescapable. We will choose to follow God, or we will choose to follow Satan. The choice is our own. In Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 13 and 14, in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see, there's only two choices. One is broad and wide, that leads to destruction. One is narrow and straight, and that leads to life. And we choose which we will take. In Matthew chapter 12, and verse number 30, Jesus said, if you're not for him, you're against him. We can choose to be obedient or to be disobedient. We become a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Neutrality is not possible. Each must make a choice. Compromise is not possible. Each must make a choice. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Man must choose, God or Satan. Israel had chosen idols, Satan, sin, in spite of all of God's warning. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 32, Moses, before his death, gave Israel a choice of blessings or cursings, life or death. Both would be determined by obedience or disobedience. Their choice meant disobedience, ingratitude, and punishment. Joshua had chosen God and obedience because of his love and faith in God. God gave the children of Israel every opportunity to make the right choice. They did not make it. God did not make it for them. They made it for themselves. Therefore, they suffered the punishment. The choice of causes is inescapable. Moses, at an early age, was confronted with the choice to choose things of the world or to suffer the afflictions of God. He chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God. Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 26. What were his alternatives? What were his choices? It was the cause of God's people or the cause of God's enemies. Israel or Egypt, slavery or freedom. It was the cause that meant suffering and affliction or the cause that meant worldly wisdom. According to Acts 7, verse 22, it was pleasure or it was adversity. But you know what? This choice confronts all of us. We have to make the similar choice. Are we going to accept the slavery to sin or the freedom in Christ? Are we going to accept pleasure or adversity? Are we going to be faithful or are we going to be disobedient? Man must choose. It's inescapable. The choice of destinies is inescapable. Read the preview of the final judgment in Matthew 25. 31 through 46. Every person determines his own eternal destiny by choice. Our choice of destinies are also narrow. There are only two gates. There's only two roads, and one leads to life, and one leads to destruction. Our choice of masters and our causes is our choice of eternal destiny. You will be able to blame no one. It is inescapable. Man must choose. Moral choice is individual. Reasons for moral choice must be individual. God created us as individuals. Each has an immortal soul. God saves us individually. The invitation is to all, but the acceptance is a personal choice. He died for all men and tasted death, according to Hebrews 2:9. He loved the world that he gave his life for the whole world, John 3:16. But he's only the author of eternal salvation to those who choose to obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. God will judge us individually. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, we're told that we must stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account of the things we did in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will be judged individually by the choices we made in our life. As an individual choice, it must be independent of my family. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, we see that family cannot be chosen over God. A Christian wife may pray and plead, but no way can she make the choice for her unbelieving husband. Neither can parents obey for their children. They must make that decision for themselves. Friends, sometimes a young person may say, "I will if you will." No, it should be, "I will even if you won't." It's individual. You can't blame someone else for not making a decision or making a poor decision. It is a matter of your personal choice. Popularity. It matters not what the majority may or may not do. I must choose the Lord for myself, not for them. I must determine what's right not by popularity, not by what everybody else is doing. I must choose for myself. I must determine whether I will be faithful to the commitments that God has given me or whether I'm going to try to go my own way. It is a personal choice. Joshua was not choosing for his family in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 because each in his family had to make that choice for themselves. But he knew their choice and merely stated it for others to hear. This was a high compliment for him, knowing that he instilled in them the proper values that they would make the proper choices. Dear listener, are you instilling those type of values in your family that you can be assured that they will make the choice that is right? We hope so. Moral choice is immediate. Some choices are not immediate or urgent. Education, whether you go to college or not, whether you graduate from school or not, whether you go to a trade school. Those are choices that may not have to be done right away. Marriage, the if, when, and to whom you marry does not have to be decided today, but it will be decided in some future time. The moral choice between God and Satan is immediate and needs to be made now and not later. Can we put this choice off until tomorrow? To put off serving Christ today is to serve Satan for a while longer. Felix and Agrippa postponed their choice for Christ, but they did not postpone their choice. They made it in Acts 24, verse 25, and 26, and verse 28. When Felix wanted a more convenient season, he made his choice to remain with Satan. When Agrippa said he was almost persuaded, he had already made his choice to stay with Satan. You see, there is no in-between. There's no neutrality. The choice for the Lord ought to be made immediately when we know that we need Him. The day of choice will soon come to an end in our lives. It shall be ended by our death or the coming of the Lord, which one will ever come first. Does not the uncertainty of these two important events make it imperative for us to reach a decision to make a choice while we have time and opportunity? Yes, we don't know when the end will come, but the end will come. And we need to make the choice today when we know our condition today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. We need to do it today. We need to make choices that are good today, not tomorrow. To become a child of God and to be saved finally in heaven is not by some divine decree or nor is it by accident. We don't take a vote. It is a choice each makes for themselves. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That was not only a good question to the children of Israel in Joshua's day, that's a good question for us today. While it is still today, you have the power to act. In the last day, Christ will do the choosing, not us. His choice then will depend upon the choice I make now. Whom would you choose today? What will your answer be? If you understand your duty to God and understand your loss and understand you need Christ and you need His redeeming blood and that you're not living the kind of life that you should and you turn this radio off and you do nothing about it and say, well, I'm going to do something, but I'm going to do it later. Dear listener, listen very carefully. You have already made a choice and you have chosen to remain with Satan. And that will always be your choice until you change it, until you determine to go in a different way, and you determine to live in a different, by a different standard. Nobody can force you to do it. You must do it yourself. But choose you will, and your choice has eternal consequences. We encourage you to make good choices today and to remain faithful to God. We want to encourage you to come and be with us this morning in our time of Bible study and then of worship. And if we can answer any Bible question and help you fully understand better your responsibilities to God, we are here to do so. It is our hope and our prayer that you don't put off this important choice, that you make it, and you make it today before it may be everlastingly too late. Thank you.